In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, "For now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report." And one of the elders that's talked about in that chapter, of course, is Abraham. And in Romans chapter 4, verse 3, the Bible says about Abraham, "For what saith the Scriptures? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." This morning, I want to preach more of a Sunday night message. Usually on Sunday night, a lot of my messages are practical. Practical because I think this book is a practical book. This book not only tells us about how to get saved, about how much God loves us, and about the gift of salvation that He offers to every person, but it also tells us how to live. It tells us how to have that abundant life that Jesus wants us to have. And so, again, this is more of a Sunday night message than it is a Sunday morning message. But I think the Sunday morning crowd sometimes needs a Sunday night message. And so that's why I do it every now and then. You know, oftentimes we miss parts of life that God wants us to have because we don't have the faith to take it. We don't really believe that what God said in this book is true for us, that particular thing. And as a result, we miss out on something that God wants us to have. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like to miss nothing. I mean, if somebody's giving out something, I want to be there to get my share of it. When Adam, my son, who is our song leader, was a kid, we used to go over to Sam's on Saturday morning. And I haven't been there for a long time, but what they used to do at Sam's on a Saturday morning is they give out samples. And Adam and I would make our way through the store to hit every person that was passing out a sample, and we'd have lunch. I mean, we wouldn't have to eat after that. Now, he would get embarrassed. He would get all red. And in fact, we got to the point, we got up on Saturday morning, I said, "You're ready to go to lunch?" He said, "Are you talking about Sam's?" I said, "Well, of course." He said, "I'm not going." I said, "If you're going to eat lunch today, you're going to Sam's with Dad." But I don't like to miss nothing. And so many times we miss things that God has for us because we just don't take it. He gives them to us, but we don't have the faith to appropriate it. It's like if my dad gave me a blank check and said, "Look, whatever you need, just go ahead and fill out this check. I got money in the bank." Of course, my dad couldn't say this, but let's say that he could. "I got money in the bank. However much you write it for, it'll be covered." And I never write the check. I never, you know, fill in the amount. I never take it to the bank and cash it. And so many times we do that to God. He's given us a gift, something that He wants us to have, and we don't, by faith, appropriate it and make it our own. I've told the story before, but it's like that farm boy that was dirt poor, and he decided that he was going to get educated and make a success of himself, and he promised God that if God would bless him and help him, he would take care of his mama, who lived in a shack, no running water, no electricity, outdoor facilities, had nothing. And so the boy went to town, God blessed him, he made it good, and he kept his promise. Because every week he would send a money order home to mom, knowing that she would use that money to improve her lot in life. Well, after about 8 months, he got able to get away from work, and he went back home, and he expected to go back and see, you know, running water and electricity and the shack fixed up. And when he got back, it was the same as he left it. And he went into the house and looked around, and his mom came and gave him a big hug and a kiss and welcomed him home. And he finally said, "Mom, how come you're still living like this? Where's all the money that I sent you to fix things up?" And she said, "Well, I never got any money." And her son said, "Well, I'm sure you did. I sent the letters, registered mail, and I know that you got them. I sent you all those money orders." She said, well, I got all the things you sent me. Come on into my bedroom. And she took them in, took them into her bedroom, and there on the wall was plastered all the money orders that he had sent home to her. She didn't know what she had. She didn't realize that she had the ability, based on what he sent her, to fix things up. And so many times, we're the same way. This book is full of promises that God has made to us, and he wants us to take those promises and claim those promises and live by those promises and enjoy what he has for us. And I want to speak on one of those promises this morning. That promise that Adam read from Psalm 119, verse 165, where the Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You see, a part of the abundant life that Jesus wants us to have is peace. He said in the book of John, I have come to give you life, and life more abundantly. And one of the things that he wants us to enjoy as part of that abundant life is peace. Peace. The dictionary says that peace is the cessation of hostility. In other words, if you have peace, you have no war. But God's peace is much more than that. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, the Bible says this, be careful for nothing. In other words, don't worry about anything. Now, I will tell you this morning, there's people all over this room that are worried about something. You may be one of them. But there's people all in our congregation this morning, the things that they've shared with me that they're worried about. And this verse says, be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We sing that little chorus sometimes in Sunday school. I've got the peace that passeth understanding down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. I've got the peace that passeth understanding down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. And the question is, do we have it? Because God wants us to have that peace. We sing another little song. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul. And the question is, do we have it? Because God wants us to have that peace. And that peace just, it goes beyond the cessation of hostility. That peace, the Bible says, will keep our hearts and our minds through Jesus Christ. And even though we're going through the storms of life, even though we're worried about things that are going on, we know that everything's okay because we belong to God. We sang that other little song. Everything's all right in my Father's house, in my Father's house, in my Father's house. Everything's all right in my Father's house, where there's peace, peace, peace. And God wants us to have that peace. It's like the two guys that were out coon hunting one day. And they had their dogs with them. And their dogs got on the scent of a coon and chased the coon up the trail, up a tree. And so they sort of had to draw straws to see who was going to climb the tree to get the coon. And so they drew straws, and one of the guys drew the short straw, and he climbed up the tree, and his buddy stayed down at the bottom of the tree, and he gave him time to get up to the top, and then it became real still and real quiet. And the guy on the ground, hey, is there a coon up there? And the guy in the tree, in a real quiet voice, said, no, there ain't no coon up here. There's a bobcat up here. And the guy on the ground said, well, what do you want me to do? And the guy up in the tree says, I want you to shoot up here and give one of us some peace. He didn't care if he shot the bobcat or him. He just wanted to have some peace. And I wonder how many of us as Christians live that like that guy up a tree with a bobcat. We're nervous, we're anxious, we're worried. And God says, that's not how I want you to live. I want you to have peace, not only peace. I want you to have great peace. So how do we get it? Well, that promise that we read from Psalm 119, verse 165, tells us how to get it. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Here's the secret to have great peace. Love this book. Here's the secret how to have that peace that passeth understanding. Love this book. If you love this book, you'll read this book. You'll study this book. You'll memorize this book. You'll meditate in this book. You'll obey this book. You'll claim the promises in this book. And you'll get everything that God wants you to have, including that great peace. And that peace comes in different forms. First of all, if you love this book, you'll have peace with God. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, the Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, you don't have to read very far in this book. In fact, all you have to do is read the first couple, three chapters in the book of Genesis. And you'll find that we're at war with God. Mankind is. We're at enmity with God. You see, our sins made us God's enemies. We were created to fellowship with Him. We were created to have a relationship with God. But when we sinned, when we acted on our sinful nature that each of us are born with, and we did that thing that we knew was wrong, or we didn't do that thing that we know we should have, we were separated from God. And we're at enmity with Him. And there's no way on our own that we can end that war. There's no way that we can make peace with God. We can't work for that peace. We can't give some amount of money to get that peace. We can't be good enough to get that peace. We are, because of our sins, forever under the judgment of that sin, which means we're at enmity with God. We're separated from God. That's why the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Not physical death, but spiritual death, being at war, being separated from Him. And there's no way that we can fix that. There's no way that we can end that war. But the good news of the Bible, the gospel of the Bible, is God doesn't want to be at war with us. He doesn't want to be at enmity with us. He doesn't want to be separated from us. He wants to end that conflict. He wants the war over. And that's why He sent Jesus to die for our sins. And when Jesus went to the cross, He took every one of my sins and He took every one of your sins. The Bible says that God placed them on Him, and He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And when He died on Calvary's cross, that moment that God, when Jesus was on the cross, that moment when God turned His back on His only begotten Son, Jesus suffered what we owe for our sins, separation from God. He suffered our hell for us. And He's able to offer to every single person freedom from sin and forgiveness from sin. You see, He took and paid for every single one of mine and every single one of yours. They are all under the blood. And the Bible says that He offers to us a gift of peace. The war that we have with God, because we're sinners, can be over. The enmity that we have with God, the conflict that we have with God, can be over. He says, if you come and you'll just trust Me, and you'll just receive Me and the gift that I offer to you, the war can be over. You can be at peace with God. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 12, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. And not only do we have peace, God always gives us more than He promises. He always goes above and beyond the promises that are in this book. He justifies us. By our faith, we are justified. We have that peace. We are made as if we've never sinned in His sight. Yeah, we're still sinners, and we still sin, but our faith justifies us before God, and so we have peace with Him. We have peace with our Creator. We have peace with our Heavenly Father. Now listen to me for a minute. Everything can be all right in your life, but if you're not right with your mom and dad, there's something missing. Something missing. I mean, God made us to have that right kind of relationship with our mom and dad. And you say, well, preacher, you don't know my mom and dad. Well, I know God. I know mom and dad sometimes can be sinners just like we are. And they can make the wrong choices. But they're mom and dad. And we ought to have the right kind of relationship with them. And I can tell you that if you think everything's all right in your life and you don't have the kind of relationship that God wants you to have with your mom and dad, there's something missing in your life. You multiply that by a billion times and you can say the same thing about God. You can have everything all right in your life. And you can be a success by how the world defines success. I mean, you can have, the model family, 1.6 kids. I'd like to meet the 0.6 kids, but 1.6 kids. And you can have, you can have money in the bank and all your bills can be paid and you can enjoy all the things that this world has to offer. But I want to tell you something this morning. If your relationship with God is not right, it doesn't matter what the world has to offer. It cannot satisfy that part of your soul that needs that relationship with God. And the only thing that's going to give you that peace that I'm talking about this morning is to make peace with your Creator, to make peace with your God, because until that happens, there's always going to be something missing in your life. I mean, you can try to fill that empty spot in your life that only can be filled by God with everything the world has to offer, all the pleasures of the world. Solomon talks about it in the book of Ecclesiastes. I was reading it again last night. He says, hey, I got all the pleasure the world has to offer, and I got all the wealth that the world has to offer, and I got all the education that the world has to offer. I had everything the world has to offer. And he says it's still vanity and vexation of spirit. And what he was saying is, doesn't matter that I have everything the world has to offer, there is still something missing. And what's missing is that peace with God. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. This book will tell you how to have that peace with God. Number two, this book will tell you how to have peace with yourself. We read those verses from Philippians chapter 4 where the Bible says, be careful for nothing. In other words, don't worry about anything. You know, we as Christians, we spend too much time worrying. I know this is easy to say and hard to do, but we spend too much time worrying. We spend too much time fretting about stuff that God says, I'll take care of. And as a result, we don't have peace with ourselves. I want to remind you of a couple of things this morning. I want to remind you that God knows who you are. And you are special to Him. Brother Wendell was telling me the other night, he was out on Vienna Road and his car stopped right in the middle of the road. He didn't know what he was going to do. He said somebody pulled up behind him. And it was Jeff. Kim, were you with him? Jeff and Kim pulled up behind him. And Jeff was telling me a minute ago when I asked him about it, he said, yeah, I was thinking about the Good Samaritan. There I was in the middle of the road. Some guy broke down in front of me. I said, I'm going to stop him. He said, I had traffic backed up all over. But I said, I'm going to stop and help him. He said, got up there, and it was Brother Wendell. And so they pushed the car over to the side of the road. You know, God was in that. He knew you were going to be broken down. He had Jeff and Kim just a couple of steps behind you ready to help you. Now, a small example, one that I just heard about this morning, but that's how God works. You see, every single one of us are special to Him. He knows us. He made us. He made us for a purpose. He loves us. He knows what we need when we need it. And you see, the way God works, He doesn't send things into our life before we need them because He knows we don't need them. And we wouldn't recognize them. We'd waste them. I mean, if Brother Jeff and Kim would have been 2 miles ahead of Brother Wendell, wouldn't have helped. You'd probably still be there, right? but that's how God works. He knows what we need. And it tells us, Jesus told us in the Sermon on the Mount, He said, don't worry about what you're going to eat. Look at all these little sparrows. I take care of them. I give them stuff to eat. He said, and don't worry about what you're going to wear. Look at all these lilies of the field, probably like dandelions today. He says, I dress all them. And even Solomon in all his splendor weren't dressed like the lilies of the field. You know, if you love this book and you read this book, you'll run across verses like Philippians 4:19, where the Bible says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Now listen, I'm not making that up. It's in the Bible, Philippians 4:19. "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." You don't think that God can supply your need? You don't think that God knows what you need to eat? You don't think that God knows what you need, when you need it? And you don't think that God can provide it? Well, sure he can. He's God. He owns a cattle on a thousand hills. I'd rather depend on him than any man-made institution to take care of me. I've told you many times before, if GM goes broken, cannot pay my pension anymore, I'm not going to worry about it. I have a God in heaven who knows I need to eat. Now, I mean, he may choose to keep them afloat and keep paying our pensions. I know a lot of you are in the same boat that I am. But listen, I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to fret about it. I got a God in heaven that made this promise before General Motors even existed, that he said, "I know what you need, and I'll provide it." And by the way, he's got the resources to do it. You can read this book in 1 Peter 5:7, read a verse that says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." I don't know about you, but when I read that verse and I think, hey, there's a God in heaven that's watching over me and taking care of me, I don't care what's going on in my life, I can make it. I can make it. Because I have a God that takes care of me. I can have peace with him. I can have peace with myself. And then number three, I can have peace with others. Verse we read from Psalm 119. "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Let me just ask you this morning as I close. What's the main reason that we don't have peace with others? We get offended. Somebody says something that we don't like. Somebody does something to us that we don't like. They left something undone that they should have done. And we get offended. We have conflict. And maybe conflict is too strong a word, but we get offended and everything's okay. Not okay between us. I want you to stop just a minute this morning and think, who's the only person you can't offend? Now, some people will say, well, I can't offend my dad. And I would say, yes, you can. Probably many of us have at one time or another said something unkind to our father or to our mother. Even though they love us, we hurt them, we offended them. You might say, well, I can say anything I want to my brother or my sister. They know me, they love me, they would understand. And yet I would tell you, there have been many instances of brothers not getting along with brothers and sisters not getting along with sisters because they were offended about something. Somebody say, well, I could never offend my husband or my wife. Yeah, go ahead and laugh. That's not true. You can. You can say an unkind word. You can forget a birthday. You can forget an anniversary. You can just be grumpy. And you can offend your husband or your wife. Who's the only person you can't offend? Let me tell you. A dead person. How many times have I stood by the casket and I've heard people say, "Oh, he looks so good." And I keep waiting for that person in the casket to say, "You mean I looked like this when I was alive?" But he's not offended. Huh? And we stand around the casket and we talk about all the good things that person has done and all the kindnesses he does. And I just want to stand there and I sometimes wish the person could just sort of raise up from the casket and say, "Why didn't you tell me that when I was living? Why'd you have to wait till I was dead to mention that you liked me or that you enjoyed the things that I did?" But he wasn't offended because he's dead. This book says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 31, Paul was talking. He says, I die daily. I die daily. What he was saying is, I'm dead to myself. I want to live for Christ. I'm dead to my desires. I want to let him live through me. I'm dead to my wants. I want to do his will. And when we love this book and get into this book and live by this book, then we can claim that promise. Nothing, nothing, nothing shall offend me. Some of you have gotten mad at me because you've come to me starting to talk about another person has done to you. And one of the questions I ask a lot of people is, how much time are you spending in your Bible? Are you reading your Bible? Because I believe this promise is true. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing, nothing, nothing shall offend them. Jesus said, I've come to give life and life more abundantly. Part of that abundant life is great peace. Do you have it this morning? Are you at peace with God? The only way you can have peace with God is come through Jesus Christ. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And if you're not saved this morning, today's the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. You need to come and ask Jesus to be your Savior. Are you at peace with yourself? You can be, because you got a God that knows you, loves you, and is going to take care of you every moment of every day. Do you have peace with others? If you died, you did. You do. You do. If you're dead, nothing can offend you. Nothing. I die daily, Paul said. Do you have that peace? I wish we could all sing that song. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul. You can have it. All you got to do is claim it. Claim it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for that peace that you offer to every single person. Peace with you, peace with ourselves, peace with each other. And I pray this morning, Father, whichever one we need, we by faith would claim that promise and we'd get that peace. I pray, Father, especially for those that might be here this morning and don't have peace with you. Father, I don't know how they live their lives. Don't know how they make it day to day. I pray this morning they could see their sin. And I pray, Father, that they would see you. And they would see the sacrifice that Jesus made on Calvary for them. And this morning they'd come and ask Jesus to be their Savior. Pay for that sin and be made right with you. Father, I pray for the many Christians that are here. You know where we are in our life. You know what we need this morning. I pray that we would claim it from this book. Bless this time of invitation. Use it as you see fit. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.